Today is the second sermon on the Beatitudes. Last week, we looked at the first blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. We clarify that being poor in spirit doesn't mean being poor in terms of worldly materials like lacking wealth or power. Faithful people in the Bible, like Abraham and Job, lived abundantly because they were loved by God. Joseph was sold as a slave to a foreign land, and Daniel was taken captive. But both were blessed to rise to great positions of power and wealth in those foreign lands. If we interpret poor in spirit literally, it would seem like these people would be without blessings. So, it's important to understand the words spiritually. Being poor in spirit spiritually means having a good heart without evil and being ready to empty oneself. Such a person can easily believe in God, and as he hears and obeys the word, he can receive the blessing of possessing heaven. Not only people who are just saved and people who are weary and brokenhearted, they are open their heart and accept the Lord. This is the being poor in spirit, and they receive the blessing of salvation and blessing of possessing heaven. But the perfect meaning of being poor in spirit is having no evil, casting off evil, and casting off desire to seek worldly things, and resembling our Lord and filling our heart with. This is how we truly become poor in spirit, and we will receive more perfect blessing of possessing heaven. And each blessing has a different levels of meaning. And also we will talk about the spiritual mourning. And there are different levels of mourning. I hope you figure out those meanings deeply. So you will realize that the Beatitudes is the way to achieving the whole spirit. Not only will they be saved and enter into everlasting heaven, but also enjoy spiritual authority and blessings on earth. The Beatitudes are familiar to many, even to worldly people. But simply knowing the words is not enough. We must understand their spiritual meanings and follow the path to blessings. We must first understand what it means to be poor in spirit. Then we can make efforts to be poor in spirit. Also, we need to understand what it means to mourn, to be meek, and to hunger and thirst for righteousness. By applying these in our lives, we can truly live as God's children and glorify Him. This will lead us to our ultimate desire of New Jerusalem. May you take to heart the precious message each week. Allow it to nourish your spirit and be evident in your lives. I pray in the Lord that the Beatitudes will wholly come upon you so that you may be recognized as blessed ones before all. Brothers and sisters, today we'll be looking at the second blessings of the Beatitudes that lead us to New Jerusalem. As said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The second blessing is a blessing for those who mourn. The word mourning is defined as being sad and grieved. Does this mean we must live in constant sadness and sorrowful frowns to be blessed? Or doesn't mean that we should seek out the poor and needy to mourn with them. That would mean you would go to funerals, go to hospitals. You have to fully understand this verse. We must understand the spiritual meaning of mourning. There are two types of mourning, fleshly and spiritual. Fleshly mourning, stemming from evil and ill feelings, has nothing to do with God and doesn't bring blessings. People in the world mourn because of poverty, illness, weakness, or frustration over unmet desires, becoming angry and discouraged. They mourn for being betrayed by a loved one or feeling hurt by others. Some people shed tears watching sad movies or becoming emotional by some music or atmosphere. But this kind of mourning is not God's will. And people may say, I lamented, I mourned, please bless me. No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Throughout Scripture, God repeatedly tells us to rejoice and give thanks. The reason is, no matter our trials, we are God's children who have been saved and promised the kingdom of heaven. We believe that if we ask our loving God in troubles, He will answer us. So, we can wholly rejoice and give thanks. Because God tells us to mourn. Like, you have sad moments, you have distressing moments, and you have to ask for God's help, and you shed tears earnestly asking God, is this the kind of mourning that God is pleased with? No. When you are in sad moments, distressed moments, and you ask God, even when you are sad moments, God tells us to rejoice and ask with faith. Asking with faith is giving thanks and becoming joyful in asking. You may say, I'm so stressed, I'm so distressed, how could I give thanks and rejoice? Because you believe that God listens to your prayer and answers you, because you believe that you are joyful and thankful in asking. You should not interpret mourning as fleshly mourning. You cannot experience God's mercy, and you may say, I'm a novice believer, I'm still not perfect in faith, how can I do? You have to ask, Father, please give me spiritual faith. I'm in soul trouble physically. I have nothing to be joyful about, but you are telling us to rejoice and give thanks, and you will answer us. And please give me faith of spiritual faith. Actually, you always have the reason for joy and thanksgiving because God saved you and because God gave you heaven, because Jesus died on the cross and suffered and saved us. Because you have someone who loves you so much, you are thankful and joyful. You have to wipe away your tears and sorrow. Then Father God will give you spiritual faith and answer you. Therefore, the mourning of the blessed is not fleshly, but spiritual. What then is spiritual mourning? Spiritual mourning is mourning for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's kingdom is like for the church, for the pastors in the church, workers in the church, your cell leaders, your district leaders, you pray for them to work hard and improve the churches. This is expanding God's kingdom. And also, This is, and his righteousness is to achieve, fulfill God's righteousness. You pray to achieve God's righteousness, to live by the Word of God, keep the Word of God. To explain spiritual mourning in detail, the first type is mourning in repentance. There are different levels of mourning. I hope you keep those in mind. The first type is mourning and repentance. When we first accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit, we weep over our sins, realizing that Jesus died for us. Some believers kneel down and normally in sanctuaries have pews or chairs, but these believers realize that Jesus suffered a lot for us sinners, and they just kneel down on the floor and repent. They experience the spirit of repentance that way. They beat the floor with their hands, confessing that they are a sinner. Bitterly weeping, they confess that they've been a sinner. Some spend an entire week in deep repentance. Others weep in gratitude for God's love and salvation as they listen to the Word and read the Bible. We've also experienced such joy of the first love. When you are a novice believer, after repenting, you felt like you could fly with the fullness of the Spirit, and God filled your heart. But even after repenting and receiving grace, we may still come across situations that cause us to mourn. We should live according to Scripture, cast off sins, and become sanctified as we believe in the Lord. But we may still fall into sin due to weak faith. When this happens, we must mourn once more, praying and fasting earnestly to be cleansed of our sins. When sin is revealed, we have to mourn again, pray, and fast. This is the mourning to achieve righteousness. In addition to praying in repentance as a novice believer, as you live as a Christian, as you find yourself sinning, find yourself with evil, you feel embarrassed, you feel apologetic. For some sins, you have to beat your chest in grief. And not only should you mourn or lament for those sins leading to death, but like when you hate someone and beat someone, you didn't hate or beat someone or gossip about someone, but some people feel so apologetic for not serving others more. Jesus' love forgave us. Whenever I commit sins, God doesn't reject us but forgives us. But we don't forgive others from our heart. We don't serve more. We don't yield more. We don't stretch our hands more. We just wanted to keep away. We just wanted to walk away. But we didn't serve others more. This is the things of the flesh. But some people are so heartbroken by their fleshly things of the flesh, and they beat their flesh, and they bitterly repent thoroughly, like as if they've committed works of the flesh. As they do so, they commit cast off even those sinful natures. As you mourn this way, you can change yourself and achieve sanctification. This is mourning. As our faith grows and as you change yourself and cast off sins and as our faith grows and we serve as God's workers, we should no longer need to have this kind of mourning. This doesn't mean we don't need to mourn even after sinning. As we long for the Lord's return and New Jerusalem, we should refrain from sinning anymore so that we won't create reasons to mourn. There should be no occasion for us to mourn over sins. How peaceful our life would be. We don't have to say, Father, I have hatred, I have envy and jealousy, I don't want to do this. Please help me cast off. We no longer have to do that. How good it would be if we no longer have to do that. People who and there's another mourning as well. Even if you stop mourning for your sins, there is another level of mourning. Next, we also mourn in repentance when we fail to fulfill our duties. As workers and leaders, we have to pray, evangelize, diligently visit other members, achieve revival, and bear fruits. As elders, as pastors, as senior deaconesses, after we receive great duties, as an elder, you are the head of the congregation. You have been recognized with your faith and become an elder. How did you pray? How did you pray earnestly? If you have failed to do so, this could be a wall of sin because you are a duty. You have a position. If you are, even as a pastor, if you are this should make you feel so apologetic. You have to evangelize. You have to stay faithful. But if you fail to do so, you have to achieve revival. You have to bear fruits. So, failing to do so, we rend our heart and mourn. But if we don't feel remorse or desire to return to faithfulness, despite our neglect of duties and lack of passion, it indicates that we are lacking faith and love for God. You may say, because so that I wouldn't mourn for the lack of neglect of duties. It's better for me not to long for duties. It's better for me not to have any duties. This is more serious. Let's say you are have long been a Christian. It's not only natural that you should long for duties and long to work for God. If you have no such longing, you cannot be said. So that means you are distance, there's a distance from you and God, and you cannot receive answers from Him. And God, Jesus said that He was thirsty on the cross, and He asked us to save the souls, and we have to find the price of His blood. But if we don't long for His duties, this is more serious. A spiritual mourning also occurs when we see a fellow believer heading towards destruction. When those around us fall into sins and head toward destruction or lose strength amidst tests, we must advise and encourage them and pray for them as if it were our own burden. We repent on their behalf with a compassionate heart and pray with mourning so that they may walk in the truth. Some people, instead of mourning and praying for others with compassion, condemn and criticize others for their transgressions. They cause them pain with hurtful words and share their faults with others. Such people are far from being righteous before God. When His people severely committed sins caused by when his people severely committed sins and caused God's wrath, Moses interceded on their behalf, risking his life to seek God's mercy. Though they were not obedient but always complaining and bothering him, Moses loved them and repented on their behalf. Such a heart is found righteous by God and worthy of blessings. Other than these, there is also mourning for the salvation of souls. When our family members, relatives, or neighbors are lost and heading towards destruction, we mourn and pray for their salvation. Spiritual mourning that is righteous before God also includes mourning for numerous souls headed for destruction, mourning for the nation, and mourning for the church or anything that opposes God's kingdom. And I listened to the message, the Beatitudes, and I realized that there are different levels of mourning. As I told you, you mourn for yourself, for your spiritual change, and you earnestly pray for the church. And you go beyond that, and you mourn for the world, mourn for the salvation of souls. It's mourning for the world. It's mourning. But in the past, I didn't have that kind of mourning. And I just pray for the shepherd and pray for the church. So I also pray for the world mission. But I pray for them, but I don't think I mourn for them. But after 2010, I mean, even back in 2010, I didn't have that kind of mourning. But after that, I began to understand a little bit about the mourning for the world and mourning for the salvation. And at some point, I began to, because our shepherd did so as well. And even at some point, I began to feel, I had a desire to pray more earnestly for the people and for the members who are committing sins. And at some point, I found myself praying with them with tears. As I prepare for this message recently, I'm very thankful. God gave me, appointed me the head of this church, and He had me pray with tears. God make me a person who can pray with tears for the souls, for the church, and for those who persecuted this church. I didn't just pray, but pray with tears. God made me a person who pray with tears for the, so this is how we can spiritually improve. And as I prepare the message, I could feel this as I looked at myself. And even for those people whom you don't know, you know, tears don't just come. You have to pray earnest. And let's say as I told you, there are levels of mourning. First, let's say if you don't mourn for your sin, first you mourn for your change, spiritual change, and then you mourn for your old mission, and Let's say you are not earnest for your change, but you are only earnest for others. That's why there are levels of mourning. You mourn for yourself, mourn for others, and mourn for the souls and for the God's kingdom. And you have to pray earnestly in tears. But when you stop mourning for yourself, mourning for your sins, then you can mourn for God's kingdom and for the souls. Then you can, your mourning can bear abundant fruit. We have to strive more to achieve this level. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul recounts the many sufferings he endured for the gospel. He was imprisoned multiple times and beaten countless times with near-death experiences. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, spent a day and night in the open sea, and suffered hunger, thirst, cold many times. Second Corinthians chapter 11 verse 28 and 29 tells us, apart from such external things, there is daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul explains that his mourning was not from his own suffering. This is wonderful confession. He was in trouble. He was in distress, but he didn't care. Such distress didn't care, but he was concerned for the souls and for the kingdom of God. He wasn't mourning for himself. He was mourning for... This is great. And he also said in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Those who mourn for God's kingdom and mourn and worry when believers falter or when churches fail to honor God. In persecution, their mourning is not for personal hardships, but for other souls. When we see the world growing darker, we mourn and always pray for God's glory to be revealed more greatly and for numerous souls in the world to be saved. However, our mourning should not overwhelm us to the point where it hinders our prayers and our service for God's kingdom. For this interferes with God's work, it's important for us to practice self-control. True mourning for God's kingdom is not just words or tears. It must be accompanied by deeds. For example, if we mourn over sins, we shouldn't just repent with words and repeat the same sins. We should bear the fruits of repentance and cast off the sins. If we mourn for souls, it must be accompanied by the act of earnestly praying for, evangelizing, and visiting them. Those who mourn this way will be blessed. God said that they'd be comforted. This comfort is from God. What kind of comfort will they receive? The comfort from God is different from man's. When someone is grieving or suffering, people may offer words of comfort but do nothing to ease the burden actually. But unlike these people, our God offers the kind of comfort that is real and practical and brings true relief. As 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. God's love is love with deed and truth. In comforting people, God doesn't just say, that's too bad, don't be sad. You must have gone through tough times. But He provides food to the hungry, heals the sick, and answers people with heart desires. This is true comfort. When you mourn spiritually and receive God's comfort, it will always bear fruit. Psalm chapter 32 verse 1 tells us, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. When we mourn over our sins, God blesses us with forgiveness. Once the wall of sin is removed, we become filled with the Holy Spirit, and the joy that follows is great. With that fullness, God grants us power. After you repent with a runny nose and tears and beat your chest in grief and with our beloved Ms. Bongnim Lee, as Ms. Bongnim Lee lay her hand on your shoulder and they began to weep bitterly and remembering the sins they committed, and they are overwhelmed with. After you repent that way, you feel refreshed, you feel your body feels lighter, and it feels like a heavy burden has been lifted off of you. And spiritually, it's the same. You feel such a comfort from God, and you receive answers and blessings. And that's not the end. You, as you, with that fullness, God grants us power and grace from above, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, we are able to cast off sins. And many people are deceived. Many people misconceive that just because they say they repent, they think that their sinful natures are cast off. They still remain, and you are forgiven, but your sinful natures remain, hatred remains. Let's say you hate you and you repent, Father God, during the week I hated someone, I gossiped about the summer, please forgive me. Then you are forgiven, you receive the grace of being forgiven, but you have to, without the mourning, Father, I really hate this hatred. But there should be earnest mourning. Only then can your sinful natures be cast off. Your sinful natures has to be cast off so that you won't hate again. But many Christians, they don't mourn for the sins they committed, but they merely say, Father, I'm sorry, forgive me. And next week, they again get irritated. They get again become jealousy. They become jealous of others and covet others' belongings. They repeatedly commit sins. But if they really cast off the sinful natures, even they will turn into a person who doesn't commit sins anymore. And this kind of true mourning is necessary. But just because you have to pile up such prayers of mourning, then your sinful natures will be cast off. And as we pray earnestly, God will give us spiritual mourning so that we can be strengthened to cast off our sins and evil. This is spiritual comfort from God. Once you cast off such, as we cast off sins, our soul prospers. Our soul prospers. Then, as 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. God blesses us to prosper in all respects and enjoy good health. What a great blessing. God makes our souls prosper, answers our heart's wishes, and blesses our families and workplaces. God strengthens those who mourn for not fulfilling their duties well. Seeing the prayers and actions of those who mourn for the souls, God enables them to bear fruits of revival in their fields. He brings good and obedient believers to them or sends good workers to help them. As they have such mourning and grow in holiness, their mourning deepens. If they can mourn for the salvation of numerous souls and more for the world with the heart of the Lord, they will be given greater power like that of Apostle Paul or Peter. They are used as precious instruments to expand God's kingdom. He didn't mourn for himself. He mourned for the souls and God's kingdom and prayed for God's kingdom. He prayed for dying souls to and for other souls to prosper. And then he, that's, and not only that, God uses them for great purposes and exalts him. For this kind of mourning results in many rewards. This is a true blessing. Some people are busy casting mourning for his sins, but other people are mourning for God's kingdom. Then their rewards in heaven will be great. As they mourn, they receive the comfort of being used greatly by God and receiving rewards in heaven. They receive such great comfort as a result. Let me conclude a message. Dear brothers and sisters, how much do you mourn? Some believers feel sorrow and distress when misunderstood or criticized. Having nothing and lacking in things to boast about, they are filled with sadness. Your spouse may distress you. You may have financial difficulties and you feel distressed and stressed out. And you have such physical mourning. Are you filled with such a physical mourning? Now you should no longer have such physical mourning, but you have to have spiritual mourning. You have to instead live a valuable life of spiritual mourning. Mourn to rid yourself of sin, mourn for others, and mourn for the kingdom of God, so that more souls can come before the Lord in the end time. Let us passionately evangelize and pray with mourning. As you pray and mourn spiritually, may you always experience God's comfort and always remember, if you spiritually mourn as God's children or His worker, you will be rewarded not just on this earth, but in heaven. Years ago, in a message about heaven, a person who always mourned and prayed was mentioned. This person's heavenly home is beautifully decorated with many pearls, though there are other jewels and rewards. Pearls specifically represent God's comfort in response to our tears and prayers for the souls and for God's kingdom. As Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, "And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." All her spiritual mourning on earth will be rewarded with glory and rewards in heaven, where there is no more tears or mourning. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will accumulate many beautiful rewards like pearls, other gemstones, or many kinds of magnificent crowns. To that end, may you not be saddened or mourn for personal gain like the worldly people, but mourn spiritually only for God's kingdom and for the souls. By doing so, I pray that you will be blessed to receive God's abundant comfort both on earth and in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.